Ladies and gentlemen, welcome again to this program. This is One Talk Radio Podcast, and I'm with my co-host, James Gishura. And this program, you can call it JG Squared, because you are hosted by John Gora and James Gishura.
Absolutely.
Who's coming live to you from Bahrain. And in today's discussion, James, we are going to look at something that is a big threat to the society at large, not only a specific a community or society, but the whole society in the world. And this is something that, you know, affects life in somehow more negative than positive.
Absolutely.
And we just want to get into it and understand what really can be done and what really brings this kind of problem within the society. But before that, I think it is always great to introduce yourself so that, you know, the world or the people, the audience can know who we are talking about, because James has been outside the country where he was doing some great things, you know, traveling steps and increasing the miles. So as we speak, he's no more searching. So you're welcome to the program, James.
Thank you very much, Mr. John, and I really appreciate you having me on this program. And it's a great privilege for me to be here and to be with a great person like you. Now, my name's James Gashanja Mumbi, a.k.a. James Gishuru. As we all know, James Gishuru is a big Pan-Africanist whom I look upon to, and I dream to be like him. So I'm actually married recently, and I've been away from Kenya for quite some time. I've traveled to Bahrain. I have seen people. I've interacted with a lot of people from different nationalities, from different walks of life. And I can say it is such a great experience. If you have a chance, travel and see the world. Back to you, Mr. John.
That's so cool. And, you know, before we go into our topics today, I would just like to ask James to tell us something about, you know, being in a newly situation. I would call it, it's a process in life. You know, it's a stage in life. So before you were James, but now we see you as, you know, a multiplied, right?
Absolutely.
So how do you feel, and how is the state? How do you feel yourself now as opposed to before?
Well, I was actually waiting for you to ask that question, but I'll say it is such a great experience. Not because it's the beginning, but because when you have the right person, it becomes such an enjoyable, beautiful, and great experience. My wife, Esther Masharia, is a very kind person. When she comes home, she prepares everything. She is so caring. And having a person to share your dreams and passions with, and to share your problems when you have stress at work and you come back home, and you find that person waiting for you so that you can pour out what you have, it is such a great thing. So having a companion, a partner, a friend, a person whom you are very close to, a person who is your sister, who is your, like your mom, who is everything, is such a great experience. And I would like to encourage all those who are not married, even if you are not when you are too young, but if you have reached the right age to be married, I encourage you to go and get married. It's beautiful.
You can't be saying that and looking at the camera. I guess the best way was you to look at me straight in the eyes, and, you know.
Symbolic. That was a symbolic that I was trying to speak like that so that I direct it to you. But it was somehow a metaphor. But you got it, which is a very good thing.
That's great. And you will agree with me as well, those who have tasted it, or those who we see around and we interact with, who are in the situation that you are in right now, they appreciate it.
Absolutely.
And it is what we really look forward to having. So back to our topic today, James, we are, you know, looking at the world in a way where there's a lot of pain that is hidden amongst the society. And this pain is bringing with it a lot of effects, such like stress, depression, anxiety, and so on and so forth. So we are looking into a situation where depression is, you know, eating part of the world.
Absolutely.
And in my records, as I look, there is like 2015, the statistics was showing that almost around 3 million of people are affected by depression across the world, which is around 4.4% of the world population.
Mm-hmm.
So this gives a space or a difference in balancing the mood mm-hmm. and the tempo in which the society is living in.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to, you know, bring this conversation into the space so that we understand
mm-hmm.
what is causing depression and what is depression itself.
Mm-hmm.
How can we understand somebody's depressed? Because a lot of people are hiding mm-hmm. the stress they have.
Yeah.
They are hiding the pain.
Mm-hmm.
And after some time, maybe a week or two or 1 month,
mm-hmm.
you just see somebody who was jovial, laughing with you, working with you, dying without, you know, getting ill or having something like maybe that could suggest they went to hospital.
Absolutely.
So how do you define depression, and how can you see it in somebody who's not speaking out?
Mm-hmm. Well, to my little understanding I have about depression, it's that state when you are there, you're suffering alone, and you don't want to let it out. You don't want to let it out. So you suffer alone, which in such a way it goes in and affects your brain. And then you become a person whom cannot be able to help himself. And the results of that will be either you commit suicide or you become somebody who does not know himself. Now, what is bringing depression mostly nowadays? My understanding will tell me, one, the society that we live in a very fake society, that everybody is trying to portray himself in a way that he's not. So all these people, the statistics you've given here now, all these people trying to fit in, they find out that they cannot fit in such a society. And they start suffering alone. So the society we live in is completely a broken society, whereby everybody thinks of himself, of herself, and everybody's trying to show how well off they are in terms of the social media and all that. The other thing that is bringing all this is economy. The economics in most of the countries, they're broken. And most people are suffering. They cannot make both ends meet. They cannot pay their bills. They have families. And they do not know where to go. So to be seen as if they are doing something, and they try to portray a different picture and to portray a different image, and they try to show people that they are well off or they are good or whatever they are in a good position or they are in a good status. But what is happening is that is not the truth. So at the end of the day, when this person goes and sits alone, they go and they start suffering inwardly. And by the time that thing eats them up, it's too late. And they do not take time to open up and share what they are suffering or what they are going through.
That brings me to, talking about the society we are in today here, mm-hmm. like, for example, in Bahrain. I've seen a lot of things associated with depression coming from low salaries,
yeah.
dependency ratio.
Absolutely.
Whereby, you know, somebody from home,
mm-hmm.
let's say, for example, we are from Kenya.
Absolutely.
And once you board a plane and you're coming to Bahrain,
mm-hmm.
a lot of eyes sees you as somebody who has, you know, moved a step more away from the others.
Mm-hmm.
So each and every penny that you earn, somebody else outside there wants to have a taste of it.
Mm-hmm.
But then in reality, what you earn is even sometimes less than what they are earning wherever they are,
but
at home, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So you get so many calls, so many messages coming to you. That is dependency ratio.
Mm-hmm.
The family are pushing you.
Mm-hmm.
For you, they need all this and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Your friends, you know, some other people, and the salary cannot make it. When you come to something like a bad relationship, we are in some relationship that are not, you know, binding together.
Mm-hmm.
So you get a lot of relationship that are fake.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, today you'll see a selfie, you know, a girl and a boy, or maybe a wife and husband sharing a selfie,
yeah.
on social media, and you really wish to be like them. But mm-hmm. these two people, when they're in private, in their houses, maybe in a private place or a secluded place,
mm-hmm.
these people can't even share a glass of water.
Absolutely.
So one of them will end up depressed,
mm-hmm.
while the world is thinking these people are living good. So these are some of the things: the poor living standard, unwanted jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that we really need to touch,
mm-hmm.
the jobs. How many people do you think you can guess a percentage out of 100 that are working today that love their job?
I think if I'm given a chance to give the percentage, I'll say 10% out of the 100% that we leave, that's leaving around 90% of people. 10% love what they do. 90% do not love what they do. What is the reason for that leads to all this? People go to school nowadays, according to the system, the way that is that it has been set, they go to school, get a degree, get employed. And the way they do that, they look for a job or a career that is paying more. It doesn't matter whether they like it or they don't like it, but that is what they go first. The 10% go for the talents that they have or what they like doing. And those people will never be tired of what they do. Even if it's only picking garbage, as long as you are passionate about that, you will never be tired. So the society that we live in, again, it's a society that you go to school, you get employed, you work, you retire, you die. Rather than having a society whereby you go to school, you grow your talent, you don't get employed, but you create employment. And then you work until the rest of your time. And when your time to die comes, you die when you've done whatever you've always dreamed to die. So most people go to work. That includes me as well. I did not want to be in the recreation from the first time. But this is what I was told. This job is paying more. Why don't you take it? So I took it. Every day you go there to work, but you don't feel like going to work. But you have to because you have bills to pay. You have responsibilities that are ahead of you. And the time you're given that salary every month, they keep you in a comfort zone because you know it will be coming every month. So you end up doing and pay and working. So in that process of you working in a job that you do not like every day, you meet people that you do not even like at all. You even meet with the customers that are really giving you a headache, the management and all that. The depression starts building slowly, 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 slowly. And by the time you realize, it will be too late. It will have gone to a stage that you cannot even be able to control it anymore. Either you will get mental issues, or you will get health issues, or you will live your life sad, and you will die sad. And you will not be able to do a lot of things. So, one thing, the jobs that we do, they are not the jobs that we are actually designed to do, 90% of us. The jobs that we do, they keep us in a position that you keep on rotating on your comfort zone. You get paid at the end of the month, you spend it at the end of the month, you go back to the same place. So you will never go forward. If we were able to concentrate on our talents and grow them, which will not be easy because that is what most people are fearing, which is not easy. If we are able to grow our talents, every single person, there will be nobody in this world that will be poor. Because you'll be having a different talent, I'll be having a different talent. And if you grow yours, you'll be depending on me to grow yours, and I'll be depending on you to grow yours. If we do that, we'll have enough jobs, we'll have very low poverty levels, we'll have people who are concerned about each other, because we will be doing what we are doing with passion. Not because we want to be paid. So to conclude, I'll say, before you take a job or before you go to college, ask yourself, what do you really want? What do you really want to do? What can you do? And you will never feel tired waking up every morning and going and doing the same thing every day. When you are able to answer that question, then you'll be able to overcome the depression that is brought by work-related issues. And I think that will be a great milestone.
That's perfectly said, James, because, you know, when I look at the situation and how depression, you know, is eating this world and the society we live in today, just like you have said, 90% don't like what they are doing.
Absolutely.
In fact, there are some people who are not employed. Let us not even talk about those who are employed by other companies or something of sort.
They
are those who have their own business, but they don't like it.
Absolutely.
Because there is something that forced them into it, right?
Yeah.
So how can we start to train people, like for example, from school, to identify what their talent is, even if it's business? You know, the misconception is people think talent is an activity.
Absolutely.
A talent can be a service.
Absolutely.
Right? So your talent can just be giving service to the society.
Mm-hmm.
Your talent can just be a shopkeeper.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you just do a business as a shopkeeper, as a retailer, a wholesale business, and that's your talent. So we need, first of all, to, you know, try to educate people about their passion to fight depression. Because, you know, the problem, the biggest problem that to me I've seen, the reason why we are not fighting depression is we are tackling it from the top.
Yeah.
And you know, a tree, you can eradicate a tree by removing its roots.
Absolutely.
Not by cutting the leaves, because it will dry, but after rainy season, it will start to again develop some leaves.
That is true.
So the WHO, the UN, they are trying very much and we appreciate it. But can't we find a way on how we can start, you know, uprooting depression from kindergarten?
Yes.
These small babies who are there, how can we learn them? And these companies, and if you are an employer, what are you doing? Do you know each and every employee within your company? Some companies are so big, yes, we might not be able to know each and every employee within them. But we have structures. We have departments and the departmental heads. How are you training them to understand how to know each and every employee, talk to them, know what they are thinking, feel them, let them tell you what they feel about the job, and you know, we should train people to be open, right? Because we are not open with each other.
That is true.
An employee will come to you as maybe the manager. They will smile. You will think they are happy, but behind you, these guys are crying.
Absolutely.
So, you know, by educating, by learning, by understanding the environment where we are, we kill depression.
Yeah.
So, and it is something that is killing us, but we can kill it. So one of the things that we really also need to talk about, James, is how we can recognize somebody who is depressed. For example, I would say that I know you, James. I know you are a comical guy who's always smiling. But you know, if I'm with you for like an hour, but every time I see you like missing your shots, sometimes I feel like you are thinking too much, I will ask you, is there any problem? So what are the ways that you think can be used to recognize, to identify a guy that is depressed so that at least we can help them?
Johnny, my friend, like you said, if you've not heard from me from 1 week, or if I've not heard you for a whole week, and it's not normal, then I should be able to call you, John, and ask you, hey, John, how are you? How is everything? All is okay? And by that, I know you very well. I know how you normally operate, how you talk when you're happy and when you're not happy. By me calling you, I will know exactly whether you're okay or you're not okay. Just yesterday, I called a friend of mine, and we started talking. And through the conversation, he started explaining to me what he's going through and all that and all that. And I did open up also. I also spoke to him and I explained to him what I'm going through. And we spent almost 30 minutes just speaking on the phone. And after that, you felt like whatever you're going through, it was like somebody has put a rock on your head, and then that person came and removed the rock and threw it away. The burden is completely gone. So, conversation. Checking on your friends and your families, that is the most important thing. Checking on them every now and then. And know whether they are right, they are okay, or they are not okay. And if they are not okay, what steps are you going to do to make sure that you're trying to help them so that they will be in the same state? Because dialogue can cure more than any other medicine can. Dialogue and having that caring aspect, it can cure a lot. That is one thing. Second thing, as you said, everything has to start from the bottom. So the families let's say the family structure should be structured in a way that the father and the mother knows their children well, and they are able to help them identify their talents and their gifts. They are able to know when they are going through hard times, because not only in the at home, at school they will meet a lot of things and they will meet a lot of people. Maybe they will go through a lot during the day. So it's up to them to know what they are going through, and they are able to share with them and make sure that they are able to solve the issues together. The couples in a friendship, let's say if it's a husband and a wife, let's say my wife is here, she comes here, maybe she's angry. I cannot just go and start asking her, why are you angry? Why are you always angry every day? I need to find out what made her angry. Maybe it could be at work, it could be someone, or it could be something general. Now, not unless if you bring that dialogue aspect on the table every single moment, and you make communication the breakfast of your day and lunch and dinner, and a good night message to be only communication. If you communicate well, nothing will go bad, nothing. And then we remove these aspects, that option, that thing will be to remove this thing of trying to be somebody else whom you're not. Be you and be you. That's it. That's all you need. Once you accept who you are, you will never, ever be there looking for something that you cannot get. If I'm me, I'm getting maybe 50 BD, and that is what I can get. Then I should be satisfied with that, and I plan with what I have. Yeah? I plan with what I have, and I'd be happy what I have. If only 50 BD can buy me Lebanese bread and chicken tikka and maybe some dal, that is all I can, and I should be happy with that. If I come and mix all those things, it will be good for me. If I'm getting 100 BD and I feel like I want to eat burger and all that, and that is what I can afford, I should be happy with that. So once you accept who you are, and you keep on communicating and checking on your friends, and you understand and you care for those whom you love, that's the whole thing.
That's absolutely understandable, and I agree with you. Because, you know, depression in some aspects, I think it's just the misunderstanding of self.
That is true.
And this message goes to you who is outside there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of us who are working outside here, you need to understand, and we also need to be open, you know, to our friends, families, and those we, you know, who depend on us,
yeah,
per se.
Mm-hmm.
You need to understand that we are working hard, and what we get might not be enough for everyone. So the pressure you keep pressing on these guys outside here are putting them in a situation.
Absolutely.
And by not understanding them, just like you said, a family need to understand, like parents need to understand their kids. That's the same way you need to understand your friends, you need to understand your family members.
Absolutely.
Who are outside or who are doing something and you depend on them. Because the more you press these people, sometimes, just like you said, somebody's earning 80 BD.
Yeah.
Like, for example, most of the cleaners in Bahrain, right? They earn as little as 100 BD and below. So, and this is a guy who's going to pay school fees. He's a guy who's going maybe to pay rent.
Yeah.
He's a guy who needs to buy food. He needs to clothe himself and clothe even the family members.
Mm-hmm.
And not only family. For example, let's say a guy who's married. He's got wife to feed. He's got a kid to feed.
Yeah.
He's got the parents to feed.
Mm-hmm.
So all these people are looking at him. And the salary is not enough to, you know, care for such kind of a big family.
Mm-hmm.
So what remains with this guy is not happiness, but it's sadness.
Mm-hmm.
So when he secludes himself, mm-hmm. when there's no friend who can even just give a call and check on him, when there's no friend even who will just call him and tell him, oh, bro, today I just decided to buy you some dal, like you say, even just a kg of dal, this guy gets depressed.
Yeah, yeah.
And the end result of depression is death.
Absolutely.
Either normally or by hanging, somebody might decide to commit suicide. But the ultimate prize of depression is death.
Absolutely.
So the society need to realize.
Mm-hmm.
To me, what I think we need to realize, and we need to start talking about how we can help each other.
Mm-hmm.
Because depression can be treated. And there are so many ways, through education, through medication, through physiotherapies and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So in line with that and talking about the standards of living, you've been in Bahrain for some time.
Yeah.
And there is this, I call it I always call it the hidden pain that men are undergoing, and especially men.
Yeah.
Because, you know, ladies know how to maneuver things and sometimes get themselves sorted.
Mm-hmm.
But men, because the truth is, James, sometimes you might be suffering here. You really don't want to talk to me, to lend you something, or to do for you something, or to cash you, or to bail you, or maybe to give you a soft loan.
Mm-hmm.
We'll die with it. So how can we speak up? This is what I need to do. How can men speak out? What do we need to do?
Now, before I go to that,
yes,
let me also touch something about the aspect that you've just spoken about just a few minutes ago.
Mm.
About the guy who is earning like 50, let's say 50. Yes. 50 is the most minimum that one can earn.
Mm.
Now, this person earns 50 BD.
Yes.
Like you said, he has families that is depending on him, be it the mother and the father. Then he has his own family.
Mm-hmm.
Then he has to pay rent, which he pays rent here, which is not cheap.
Mm-hmm.
And now you see electricity has gone up very high.
Mm-hmm.
And he has to pay for the same. He has to eat. And he has to clothe himself. Now, both sides do have a problem which needs to be solved. And that problem is perception. When you leave home, people normally put that perception you're going to a place where just you're getting money from the trees, the money grows, and just you take it, or you're just walking on the road and then you just rains and then money just pours everywhere back home. And then now when you're here, you don't want to be, you want to show people that back home you're somewhere, that you want you want your family to look the best back home. You want your children to put on the best clothes, or your mother to live in a very good house, which is a good thing. But if you can afford it, if you cannot afford it, then live by your means and work hard on your dreams and the passion that you have. Whatever that you want will come. But what you have right now, you should live by those means. Because if you don't, what will happen is the burden will be too much. You will not be able to cope. You will not be able even sometimes to eat. You will not get money to pay for the house. And you'll start sleeping outside. When you start sleeping outside, now that's when depression starts kicking in. So we need to change the perception of the people back home so that they understand what we are going through. And that is why we are here today. We need to change our perception of how we'll be seen at home, but how you see yourself. And you should be able to recognize these are your means, and that is how you can survive. That's it, nothing else. Now, for us men, that is me and you, we have this ego that we believe that we can conquer everything, that we can overcome anything, that we don't need to share, we are okay. And that is why you see most of the men are dying either by killing themselves, or they end up having a chronic disease because of thinking a lot and not knowing what to do. They are not eating right. They are living a life full of anxiety. Men should start. I'm not telling you that you should go and start now discussing, creating a big group of people like Jesus and bring all disciples and then you start discussing. No. What I'm saying is just have some true few friends whom when you have problems you can call along and you can discuss issues. And these friends should be friends with proper benefits, friends that you can call at 12 p.m. when you're in the police station and they come and they tell you, no, it doesn't matter whether it's at 12, but I will still come even if I cannot bail you out, I can try and come and see you. Friends that when you are sick, they will be able to come and see you anytime. Friends that when you tell them, oh, I'm in this situation, maybe not even for money, I have these problems, how can you advise me? You sit down and you advise each other. Those are the friends I'm talking about. They are very few, but it's better you choose those few and you stay with them that can help you. That is in the side of men. So let's open up and let's have people who can be on our side. Mm-hmm. Even Jesus did not survive alone. He had 12 disciples. Even the great man, Mahatma Gandhi, never survived alone. He had a group of people who were behind him.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, Bob Marley. Bob Marley had the Wailers. He could not have done it alone. So why should we think that we can do things alone? We cannot. The president himself does not survive alone.
Mm-hmm.
He needs cabinet secretaries. He needs MPs, maybe governors or whoever, whatever you call them in your country. So there's nobody who can survive alone. Nobody in this world.
Definitely.
Nobody.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And that calls for a unity. And I always call it a one nation unity, mm-hmm. where we become a brother's keeper.
Absolutely.
We become a team. We realize, you know, in this world today, there's a lot of competition.
Mm-hmm.
And everything that you do, someone else wants to do it. And might be they will do it perfectly more than you, or they will not match your standards.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth is, are we ready as a people to come back to our senses, you know, and start realizing that competition is great when there is collaboration? And something like depression, you know, one way of killing depression mm-hmm. is working together.
Yeah.
Is understanding your friends, understanding what they need
mm-hmm.
and at what time.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes, even those who are suffering from depression, they don't know.
Absolutely.
They don't
Absolutely.
Know. Absolutely. You know, I've been in a situation one time, a certain period of time, when I couldn't understand myself.
Mm-hmm.
And by then, I think, gratefully, I had friends. Gratefully, mm-hmm. I had those who understood what it takes to get into depression and to get into stress and anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a time, maybe even you've experienced this, mm-hmm. when you cannot sleep and you really don't know what is causing it.
Yeah.
You can't sleep the whole night, you sweat. Mm-hmm. You are like, you sleep 10 minutes, you wake up, and when you wake up, you're full of water, you're sweating,
mm-hmm.
and you really don't understand. When somebody asks you, why are you not sleeping? You cannot explain. Are you thinking too much? No, that is always the answer.
Mm-hmm.
No. This is always one of the signs that shows that you are having anxiety.
Yeah.
And anxiety will lead to stress.
Absolutely.
After stress, you will be depressed.
Mm-hmm.
And after depression, it's death.
Yeah.
So these are one of the ways you can realize, those who are listening to this program,
mm-hmm.
for you to identify depression, to identify stress or anxiety in yourself,
mm-hmm.
you've got to look at the way you are eating. Sometimes mm-hmm. you're not eating well the way you used to eat. At times you eat and you don't even feel like you ate.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you eat very little food and you are full. You know, it shows that there is something. And these are the things that come out of, you know, out of misunderstanding. Sometimes they just come like a wind,
mm-hmm.
which will push you to another side and then leave you there.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got to start educating people about this menace.
Yeah.
Because I've seen a lot of suicide in Bahrain and suicide in part of the world.
And there are too many.
You look at the records or the statistics about suicide
mm-hmm.
all over the world, you'll be surprised. Because I was trying to look at the African, the records with the WHO
mm-hmm.
about the Africans, those who are losing life because of depression and those who are losing life because of stress and things that are related to that, mental problems.
Mm-hmm.
And it is at 4.5% averagely mm-hmm. in each and every country in Africa. And you'll find that the countries that have got higher rate of poverty, they are mostly affected. So this takes us to the question,
mm-hmm.
what is causing depression? It is the lack of something. It is a pressure and it is a force that is coming from nowhere, where you don't understand why some things are happening
mm-hmm.
and you don't know how to answer those questions. You have questions that are unanswered,
mm-hmm.
yet you cannot get the answers. But when we start to speak mm-hmm. with each other, when we start to interact, we mm-hmm. get the great friends, like you said, identify some friends. Identify a church or a mosque
yeah.
where you can go and, you know, pray and associate with people, listen to the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
It starts to motivate you. Sometimes these troubles are so much.
You know,
we cannot kill problems, but we can learn how to counter the problems. Mm-hmm.
Mentioning the aspect of religion, mm-hmm. You just have to ask yourself, during the slavery and during those times, the old times, people used to go through a lot. We are not going through anything right
definitely.
Now.
Definitely.
They used to go through a lot, a lot, a lot. But it was very rare you will hear that this person killed himself because of this and this.
Definitely.
What I'm trying to say is, at that time, faith, let me not call it religion, because religion comes in a different aspect. Faith, whether you're a Muslim or a Christian, a Buddhist, or a Rastafarian, whoever you are, they believe in something. And that faith is what keeps you going. Now, like you mentioned, it is very good to make sure that you associate yourself with a certain faith. Quran is a very good motivational book, and it guides you and it gives you faith and it gives you power to keep on moving every now and then. Bible, the same, is a very good motivational book. It has power in it and it gives you the motivation to wake up every single day and go to do something. So associate yourself with faith. Put God first, because these books comes with godness in them. Put God first, and you'll be able to overcome everything. I think you've seen a person who is strongly in faith, mm-hmm. complete strong faith. This person will go through a lot, but it is very rare to hear that this person is going through depression, because whenever he has problems, he will go and talk to God.
Yeah.
And by doing that, he will feel satisfied.
Yes.
Now, for you whom do not know God or you do not have faith, consult a counselor, or like we said, friends, so that you need to talk to somebody when you have problems. There is no way you can solve problems alone. Never. So find somebody, get somebody, talk to, and make sure you get, if you do not feel relieved, talk again and again. Sit down, speak about it as many times as you can until when you feel relieved. Now, the issue you ask about the what is causing depression in mostly in these countries which are high, have high poverty levels.
Mm-hmm.
I can say, okay, lack of employment plays a very big role. Because once you do not have any, you don't have any money, and there's a lot of people depending on you, and you are ashamed to go and see your kids who have not eaten for 1 day or 2 days, to see them suffering. And you know that you're not refusing to give them, but you cannot afford. You're trying your best. You're going early in the morning, trying to make both ends meet, but you're not able to do it. So when you look at that, you actually decide, instead of me suffering and these kids suffering, I'd rather do something so that we all stop suffering. Mm-hmm. That's what they normally convince themselves. Mm-hmm. We all stop suffering. And you find out that this person has killed himself
mm-hmm.
and killed the entire family. Mm-hmm. Because that is what his depression is telling you that is the best thing to do. He does not do because he hates himself or he hates them, but he's trying. His mind is telling him that he's doing it so that he can help them
out.
So, countries like, for instance, Kenya, you saw that guy who jumped from the building. I think it was
KICC. I remember the guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there is nobody who can just wake up and go on top of a building and then throw himself down. No, there should be some source of that. And the source definitely will be unemployment. The other thing is lack of peace. Mostly this happens mostly in the marriages. You go home, you do not find peace, you are out there, you've been through a lot, then you come home, there's no peace. Again, these people who do not talk, even in marriage, you do not speak, you do not say anything. All that bitterness keeps on building and building and building. And then at the end of the day, you end up depressed. When you get depressed, the only thing that you think is to finish the problem, because you just want to finish the problem. So you'll find this person either has killed the wife or the wife has killed the husband and he ends up killing himself. And like we said, the other thing was perception. Change these three things and you'll be okay. Because at the end of the day, life is full of challenges and they will never stop. Whether you have money or you don't have money or you are happy, challenges will always come. Now, if you're afraid of challenges, then I don't know what you will do, but challenges will always be there.
Challenges will always be
so
there.
You just need to know how to cope with them.
I really agree with that. You remember, if I don't know how your experience has been, mm-hmm. but most of the people who come to Bahrain, and especially those who start from scratch, mm-hmm. like those who take the minimum wage mm-hmm. in Bahrain or any other country, or even back in Kenya, mm-hmm. you find that the more you move up, the more responsibilities are coming up.
Yeah.
You'll find that what you are earning 5 years mm-hmm. back is less than what you are earning today. But the responsibilities and the accountability you have with whatever you are earning today mm. is same as what was there before.
Absolutely.
So this is what I'm telling you. There's nothing like a small salary. And there's nothing like too much problems. Problems are same. Mm-hmm. Salaries are same. The only enjoyment that somebody will get is mm-hmm. buying an expensive cloth that you cannot afford.
Yeah.
But what happens? The more this guy buys that expensive cloth, is the more that salary comes down.
Mm-hmm.
And the more you are buying a cheap cloth, the more you guys are coming to the same level.
Absolutely.
So the problems will remain to be the same. Yes, we would wish to live a luxurious life, but the thing is, we are all same. And everything, when you accept that,
mm-hmm.
and you know how to tackle and handle that problem, then depression doesn't come your way.
Absolutely.
Yes, you will have worries, but it won't lead you to depression. And there's something also that we need to talk about, and that is the employers, especially those who have multinational companies.
Mm-hmm.
I would wish to see these companies today, you know, employing something that we call guidance and counseling offices
within
the companies,
mm-hmm.
where at least somebody should be there who's not a manager, who's not a supervisor, is not, you know, just his role
mm-hmm.
he need to play is to earn trust from the section of the employees or the whole team of the company
mm-hmm.
such that they can go to that office, get to talk their problems, and get some counseling. This office should organize talks for the company.
Yeah.
Even though we are working 7 days a week, there should be maybe on a Friday or Tuesday the employees who are off, or they're having off days, there mm-hmm. should be something, you know, organized, like talks, like games, you know, like parties. This motivates people, bring them back to life, you know. A situation where
mm-hmm.
you are waking up in the morning, you work 12 hours a day, you go to work, you come back to the same room, it's a small room, maybe you're living.
Thank you so much for choosing One Tap Podcast and listening to today's message. I hope you subscribe not to miss any episode that comes each and every week. We'll drop it right here to inspire not only you, but the world over. One Talk, the world unites.